Welcome back to the LuchiCast, presented by Yeti, built for the wild. Visit yeti.com to check out gear that'll help you travel farther, camp longer, and live harder. No matter where the wild takes you, Yeti is ready to tackle your next adventure head on. I'm Billy Lucci, joined this week by very special guest, Los Angeles Laker, Alex Caruso, and not quite as special guest, but guest nonetheless, Logan Lee. I'm joined today by two very special guests, or one very special guest, and then another guest slash co-host, Logan Lee. Welcome back. I haven't seen you in a while, Logan. And then the one and only Alex Caruso. Alex, thanks for taking time and joining us today. I know you've been busy. I'm assuming you're out there in LA still, right?
Yeah. I've been out in LA for the break.
What's that been like in terms of basketball preparedness for you? Luckily you play a sport where you can go, I'm sure, and get shots up, I think, whenever you want. And then secondly, just what's LA been like? I talked to Dante Hall earlier. You know, he had to leave New York. He was right there in the epicenter of it. So what's it been like in LA, and what's it been like for you on the basketball front?
Yeah, luckily I don't think we got as bad as New York did, just because our mayor and our governor kind of shut everything down before it could get to that point. Credit to them. But I mean, as far as the basketball is concerned, it's been tough just because everything was shut down, so we couldn't go to our practice facility. So a guy that's used to living 10 minutes from getting shots up, getting weights in, nutritious meals, like getting work done on my body, I couldn't get any of that done. So I had to kind of transform my garage into an at-home gym, and the Lakers sent us a little care package to do some workouts. And then couple weeks after we had to do our mandatory 2-week quarantine, I found a gym to just be able to get shots up in. And yeah, it's been a lot of the to be honest, it's kind of felt like my old college days, to where it's like I just kind of sneak into the gym, get on the gun, and turn some music on and go at it.
I was just about to ask, is it more like just a grind, not having a specific facility, and just finding gyms and finding locations to work out in?
Yeah, it is. You know, it makes me appreciate, obviously, what I have and the level that I've reached to be able to have that. But it's, I mean, it was kind of cool in a sense of just like, that's what every kid grows up on, right? It's like you're in high school, you're in middle school, high school, and you're grinding. You just go to a gym somewhere and get some work in, or pick up a ball and hoop with some dudes. So obviously I couldn't play with anybody because we're quarantining and social distancing, but just being able to like kind of throw back in your head at least, and be like, yeah, this is kind of how it all started. That was pretty fun.
What a surreal month it must have been for you and your teammates and the entire league. But it just felt like, I can't imagine how you guys felt. It was the Kobe Bryant's tragic passing and everything that went with that in LA and the Lakers and the NBA. And then all of a sudden, you know, you guys are sitting there preparing for games, and the next thing you know, they tell you the season's put on hold. What was that like as a player? And just, I guess, first talk about that, the stoppage. How shocking was that to you guys, or did you see it coming from the inside?
No, we were blindsided by it, just like everybody else kind of was, because, I mean, initially it was just over in China, and everybody was, like, reporting on it, and it was kind of just this – kind of myth, like up in the air, just like you heard about it, but it's not really affecting you. We actually were talking about it with our team, like within a week of getting stopped. We were like joking about, like, oh, there's no way we could play without fans. There's no way they could stop the season. And then all of a sudden they did both. So yeah, it was really just startling, because I mean, we had no preparation for it. Like you said, like it kind of just came out of left field. And I mean, the weekend before that, we beat the Clippers, we beat the Bucks. Like we're as a team, yeah, the Lakers, we're getting ready to like turn a corner and kind of ramp it up to get ready for playoffs. And for the older guys, they've done that before, but for me, I've never done that before. So I was looking forward to kind of getting in that flow and getting into that groove. And then obviously the Kobe deal is so sad and heartbreaking, because he meant so much to so many people, even people that he's never met, never talked to. So, just a whirlwind of emotions to start the year off. 2020 has been unpredictable and not straightforward.
Let's go back to that Kobe Bryant situation, you know, we as in Billy and myself are here in Bryan College Station, and it impacted us, his passing, but you're in the center of everything. How did you see the whole situation transcribing in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much pain and like heartbreak within the city of LA, just because, I mean, Kobe is if not on the Mount Rushmore of basketball, he's on the Mount Rushmore of Lakers basketball for sure. 20 years with one organization, just from the beginning to the end, just giving it his all. And that's really, I mean, that's kind of how my bond's been with LA and the Lakers fans, is people that appreciate how hard you play and playing to win and different stuff like that. And that's what Kobe embodied. So, you saw the images and the videos of people outside of Staples Center, and it was like that for weeks. Like people were just out there. They didn't know what to do. They didn't have answers. They were just looking for people to kind of lean on or talk about it with, because it was such a tragic event for so many people.
Yeah. And in the midst of all that tragedy, shock, global pandemic, like you mentioned earlier, you guys were starting to play your best basketball when it mattered most, and then the rugs pulled out. How long do you think, as NBA players getting back together as a team, how much runway do you think you guys need to start playing games again? And then secondly, what do you guys, you're sitting here saying, for me to get this ring, this is what, by the way, an NBA championship ring, Alex. I mean, yeah. that's wild. Have you even stopped to think about, like, I got a shot, I got to look at this year, or are you just focused on the day?
100%. And I mean, that's the simple reason of why I want to finish the season. There's no other reason other than that, right? I mean, obviously, you want to get paid and you want to get all your money and you don't want to mess up the CBA, but you don't get a lot of chances to win a ring unless your name's LeBron James, right? So, like, mm-hmm. I'm a role player. I know my role, and I'm working to get better and maybe have a bigger role in different teams. But I know that the chances are very slim. You know, you don't get many opportunities. And you hear that from so many people around the league and around professional sports. You don't get a lot of opportunities to win championships. And I'm not taking this for granted. Like, I'm 100% 10 toes in on trying to get back and win this, because that would be, I mean, life accomplishment, career accomplishment, like, what, you can't top that. So it'd be nice to get one. And then obviously if I got one, I'd try to get another one. But I'm just excited to be a part of it. Watching that MJ documentary, The Last Dance, about the Bulls, every time they showed them winning a series or winning the championship, I just got like that adrenaline rush. Like, I want to be the last one standing. I want to know what that feeling is. And I want to be a part of a team, and I think we have the team to do it. So, yeah, man, that is, like, I'm just getting excited talking about it right now. Like, I'm getting a little hyped up.
Yeah, I am too. And I'm thinking of that. I'm really dreaming of the Caruso Middleton NBA final that I was so excited about seeing, just for that storyline. I mean,
that would have been
long
great.
Way to go to that, but how amazing would that be?
Yeah, that'd be great. Obviously, I'd hope that we'd win. No offense to K-Mid, but it would be amazing series basketball-wise, but then also me and him, I mean, the support from A&M and College Station would be outstanding, just because I think we're two really good guys outside of basketball. You know, I feel like we've impacted a lot of people and we're easy to root for.
Logan, let me ask him one thing real quick about, what about Chris? Like, you watch what he's doing up there in Milwaukee, and it's just, you talk about good people, and Logan, I know we're going to talk about something that you got going on in a second, but just Chris Middleton, I feel like he gets credit, but Aggies, I think, sometimes I feel like he's underestimated as far as what a, he's an actual star in the NBA, and not only that, well, I think one of the best all-time guys to come through the A&M Athletics.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand how hard it is to go from where he did to where he got second-round draft pick, to where he played decent amount in the G League his first couple – at least his first year. I don't know about his second year. I think it was his first year for sure. And now he's an all-star, two-time all-star, correct? Yeah, all-star like that. Just to make an all-star game in general, you have to be such a good player on such a good team to be able to, like, accomplish that. And for him to do it twice now, I was excited to see him play in the playoffs this year, because I think last year he got his first taste and he played well. But I know how competitive he really is, and I was excited to see him kind of turn it up again this year. But like you said, man, just one of the all-time great dudes. Like, doesn't mess with anybody, is polite, always has a smile on his face when you talk to him. He's just somebody that you enjoy being around and enjoy seeing. Every time I see him, we catch up before the game and after the game and just kind of chat, and he always tells me to keep going, and I tell him the same thing. I'm like, yeah, you're not done either.
So we're gonna go back to the all-star of Chris Middleton, but to hit back on you talking about the possibility of winning a championship, you know, you and I were texting like 4 months ago. I was just joking around about, hey, you could possibly get a ring.
I wasn't joking.
No, you weren't. You came back 100% serious. How have those talks been? I mean, is that everybody knows that a team's goal is to win the championship, is to be the best. But what are those conversations? Do y'all, as a team, do y'all talk about that? Or is it something that you just go about your business and you do what you have to do and potentially it could get done?
Yeah, I think I assume it's different. I don't have enough years under my belt yet with teams that are on different levels, because obviously the team that we have with LA is star-studded and people expect us to be there. And there's a lot of there's just a lot of attention to it already that we don't even have to talk about it. Like, we know that's our only purpose. Like, if we don't win it, it's the season's not what we like. It's a failure, basically. Like, that's our goal, is to win the championship. So we talk about it, you know, preseason, leading up, like initial meeting. But it's not even so much about, we talk about winning a championship. We talk about, like, during the season, we talk about how well we have to play, you know, like, as well as like building habits, just improving the basketball that we're playing. And there's so many games during the season. Like, we rattle off a bunch to start the year. And then I think we hit like a 5-game losing streak in December. And I think we got a little tired and we kind of refocused. And that was one of the things where we talked about, is like, not necessarily like, hey, we got to do this to win the championship, but it's like, hey, if we're going to be where we want to be at the end of the year, to be able to be in the position to win the championship, we got to get better and do these things. And I think it's so easy to do that also when you have the teammates that we do and the coaching staff that we do, that they're just, everybody is so experienced and so wise that they don't panic when you lose 4 or 5 games in a row in December. It's like, all right, we played a couple of good teams, had some guys sit out a couple of games, probably should have won them, not a big deal. Let's get back to doing what we do. And for me, that's been great, because that's always just been my mantra as far as basketball is concerned. It's like, let me just get out there and do my job and we'll get it done.
Tell us, so you're talking about your teammates, two questions. Tell us something about LeBron James that we don't know, because everybody feels like they know everything about LeBron James. And I know that's not true. And then secondly, give me one Laker. There was a time when it would have been you, but now I think you ask any Laker fan and they know all about Alex Caruso and what you bring on the court. So the LeBron question then, who's the most underappreciated or underrated Laker that people you don't think talk about enough?
Okay. I don't know if there's something you don't know about LeBron, but I think there's something that people need to know if they like have an assumption, is two things. One, he is an outstanding person. Like, mm-hmm. He is one of the best teammates I've ever had, as far as just being one of the guys, chopping it up, like playing hard, making sure he's ready to go every day. And to piggyback on that, his work ethic is unbelievable. He is in year 17 of his NBA career doing what he's doing. And the only reason he's doing that is because he works on his body every day. He gets treatment every day. He eats right. He does all the little necessary steps to be able to perform on the court. And that's something that's really rubbed off on me. Just seeing, like, already growing into like how to be a pro, but then there's levels to being a pro. Like, there's championship levels of being a pro, and then there's collecting a paycheck level. So learning from him and being able to see that there's a greater level to get to has been awesome. And then underappreciated Laker. I'm gonna kind of couple of people into a group. Okay. I think Avery Bradley, JaVale McGee, and Dwight Howard don't get the credit that they deserve, because each of them play their role phenomenally. Like JaVale will play like the first 9 minutes of each half, and then sometimes he won't go in for the rest of the half. Mm-hmm. And that's another guy that shows up every day, gets his work in, does what he's supposed to do. And then when he's out there, he goes hard. Like he tries to block everything, which is very unique skill for a big, because he's not worried about getting dunked on.
Yeah.
Dwight sheds all ego that, or any past history of ego that he's ever had. And I've had some great talks with him about that, to kind of fill his role, do the stuff he does, where if he has 15 and 15, he's excited. And if he has 0 points, 2 rebounds and 5 blocks, he's excited because we win. And then Avery Bradley is just, he's our spark plug, man. He's in that first unit and he sets the tone for us defensively like every game. We had a stretch where he was out with a calf contusion or something like that. And we had an Avery challenge where our defense, when he was there for the first half of the season, was number one in the league defensive rating. And every time he was out, our challenge was to get the Avery challenge, which was like, all right, for that night, we're going to be number one defensive rating in the league. And I think we only got it like 1 or 2 times without him.
Wow.
Double digit attempts. So those three guys, man, they do a lot, and I don't think they get enough attention in the media or in the news.
On the flip side of that, your fame has risen a little. I think you have a little over a million Instagram followers. How has that life been? Have you had to make any adjustments, or are you just playing it as it comes and being yourself?
Yeah, I mean, you know the answer to that is I'm being myself. But I don't know, man. It's been interesting. You know, just LA is a different animal as far as the attention you get. I mean, we're on TV 40 times, national television 40 times a year, if not more. So it kind of just comes with the territory. And I think being on two-way was almost good for me to kind of dip my toes into the water, you know, not fully invested into what the pressure and the expectations and just the scrutiny that you get from outside eyes and ears. But I think that helped me just kind of move into the role that I am now. And honestly, I'm just kind of more mature now than, I mean, every year I grow up more and more. So it's just easy for me to look past stuff that doesn't concern me, you know, like if someone's got something good to say, I hold it with the same weight almost that someone has something negative to say. It's like, I know when I do well. So I don't need other people's approval. I don't need other people's satisfaction. Like I know when I do my job well, and I know when I don't do my job well. So at the end of the day, I'm my own grading system. I have coaches, I have teammates that tell me, hey, you didn't do it, or hey, you did it. So it's been pretty easy. You know, it's not easy to do, but it's been pretty simple. You know, I keep my circle pretty tight with my close group of friends from back home and a couple of people out here that I know. And other than that, man, I just kind of hang out, and you know me, I'm real low key.
So how did you feel the first time you're walking down a random street in LA and you see a mural painted of your face on a wall?
Yeah, that's wild, right? That was wild. I actually messaged that guy and get him tickets to a game, because I was like, man, if you're gonna make a mural of me, I gotta make sure you get some love. I actually went out and checked it out with my sisters and my sister's fiance when they are out here, and it was really cool. It was really cool. You know, I don't even know what to say about it. You know, there's so much hype around the name Caruso and the Lakers that people tend to run with it. But I think that was something out of genuine love and kind of appreciation for what I do.
So the question is, when I make it out to Manhattan, and I know we had the rug pulled out from under us on that visit, and I know your boy Phil was not happy with that, but –
Phil's always
Stark we don't care about, but going out there, when I come and we go to the Strand House or Uncle Bill's pancake shop, are we going to be able to do that, or is it going to be the Caruso?
Oh, yeah. So that's the thing about South Bay, is everybody's really low key. Like I don't go up north into like downtown and the big city part unless I really have to. So like if I have work, I have a game I got to go to, or if I have like somebody's birthday or an event for a teammate. So other than that, I'm hanging out down here, and it's a lot more chill down here than it is in the city. So yeah, I go to North End Cafe, The Kettle, Uncle Bill's Pancake House. I can go to all these places and get food and hang out.
Awesome. Awesome. And Alex, transitioning a little to the college basketball and stuff and A&M, your story is so well documented. Every Aggie's familiar with it. Every Aggie's known, you know, your mom and dad for, what is it, 30 plus years, decades. I know I've told the story, Logan. I've told Alex and Mike the story, but we're in Omaha and I'm in a cab and somehow Texas A&M comes up and I say, yeah, you know, I know an old Creighton basketball player. And he's like, oh, who, you know, well, I say the name Mike Caruso and this cab driver almost gets us into a wreck. He says he was the best free throw shooter ever. And he was like, he was an incredible guard. And those were our best teams until now. Yeah, it was, I mean, I got a lesson in the original Caruso, the OC that I had. I knew he was really good. I had no idea. Cause this guy was like an encyclopedia. It was really cool.
That's his, like, I mean, I don't know as much Creighton information as I do his high school, but his high school team, I mean, they were back-to-back state champs. He, like, led the state in free throw percentage. He shot, like, 91, 92%. I was like, he was your Bob Cousy prototype. He was a traditional white point guard, about 5'10", scrawny, but he ran the show, and he shot the ball pretty well. I don't know how I got the skill set that I did. It must be from mom's side.
It's got to be, right? I'll tell you my favorite thing is long before you and I met, long before you probably ever made the mistake of venturing onto the Tex Ags forums, I would hear about you because Logan and our good buddy James Duncan was coaching the little like 8-year-old basketball teams. And he would come back and tell me, well, you know, I won another one. I kept calling him Coach K or Phil Jackson or John Wooden. You know, I was like, man, you're just like – and then every year for a couple of years of him doing that, he would come back and be like, we'd go grab lunch. How'd y'all do? He's like, well, we lost. I'm like, you lost? How'd you lose? He's like, man, he's like Caruso's kid, Alex. You know, he's like, we can't beat him. So for like, I don't know if you remember
what years was this? What year would I be in? Or age?
Young, like probably young? When y'all first started playing and you were playing against.
Like upwards basketball league, like grade school.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you had kept knocking his teams out.
Hey, man. I only know one thing, and that's to try hard and win. No remorse.
Nothing's changed. Hey, besides Logan, and I'm going to do this even, just to make it maybe a little harder, maybe not. I'm removing AC Law from the equation. When you're growing up, who is your number one or number two all-time favorite Aggie to watch? Who is the one you looked at and go, man, I freaking love watching that dude play?
That's tough because AC would have been the answer.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough. Those teams Logan were on with Billy G were probably my favorite teams. Neek was one of my favorite guys to watch. I think him and Joe, I mean Chris, you got Chris Walker, you got Joe Jones, you got even a young Marlon Pompey. Me and my buddy TJ, who was a ball boy with me, Marlon used to cuss at us and like tell us to throw him the balls faster and warm up, and we were a little scared of him, but we love watching him play basketball, man. I think it's probably a tie. I think probably Joe and Neek. I think those are probably my two outside. Look, of it.
I'm gonna interject because I don't want people thinking that Marlon is a bad guy cussing.
No, I'm sure he's a good dude.
Love that.
I've told this story numerous times, but he had a good reason. Caruso was not a good ball boy.
Hold on.
Caruso was probably the worst ball boy we had, and that's only because when he would grab a rebound, he would dribble around and act like he was one of us on the court ready for the game. Rightfully so, because of where he's at now, and we didn't know he had that potential. But as a ball boy,
you're getting ready to play your game in college.
Everybody's trying to get ready to play.
I'm trying out for the team.
No, I will say this though, He never missed a pass.
I was about to say, if you shot from the right and I saw the ball going from the right, I looked right and threw it back. Yeah, that is one of my pet peeves with ball boys, with rebounders nowadays. It's like, I'll shoot from the top of the key and make it. It'll go right to the guy. He'll look right to his right. And I'm like, yo, you know you just saw that come in from the middle. Throw it back. I don't know, man. I think that's probably why I can pass good today. I have, like, anticipation because I can see where everything's – I don't know.
Little did Logan know that
– Logan might be there might have been a one-case scenario where maybe I didn't give him his shot back.
I bet that's exactly what happened. I'm surprised.
Every time I took a shot, you would look at me and throw it to AC. Like, he's starting. He needs to get more shots.
That sounds probably right.
I mean, it's true. It's okay.
Yeah. I'm putting myself in his shoes, and when I'm his age and it's AC freaking Law, I'm doing exactly the same thing. He's always been a smart guy. My thing, though, is this. If I'm shocked that Billy Clyde never said stop practice and pulled one of y'all out and said, get Caruso in here. He'll do a better job than you're doing at whatever age you were. And Logan, if it would have been you, you might have been replaced with a 10-year-old guy.
I have a great Billy Clyde story. I went to so I was at every basketball camp that was ever run at A&M every summer. I went to like two or three a summer just because I couldn't get enough. And we're playing on the main floor at G. Raleigh White, and that's like those are like the best courts for those basketball days before we were at Reed. And we're playing 5-on-5, and my guy's taking the ball out of bounds, and Billy kind of knows who I am because he knows my dad, and then he knows that I'm around the team and then a ball boy. And so he knows my name, and I'm guarding the guy that takes the ball out of bounds. And there's a cardinal rule as far as like when you on the baseline, the other team's taking the ball on the baseline, their basket's right there. And there's like a cardinal rule is like you don't turn your back. You guard the basket and you're like straight up. And I'm like trying to find somebody. I'm like hyped up. I'm like, yeah, coach is here. I'm going to show him. And I'm like looking over there. And I don't remember if he stopped it or not, but I remember he just yelled, Caruso. And I go, he's like, don't ever turn your back to the basket or back to the ball. I'm like, yes, sir. And I turn as fast as I can back to the other way. But it was not in a loving tone. It was like he was coaching practice. I was like, oh gosh.
That's perfect. And not surprising at all. I feel like when you're at one of Buzz's practices right now, if you're on an ancillary, like if Logan or I are there watching practice, you might get yelled at for something random. And I know, Logan, you saw that a million times with Billy, with Coach G. Alex, like, and I know it's always like tough when your coach and Coach Kennedy is you're watching A&M games and he's no longer there, but also you're an Aggie basketball player for life. What's your excitement level over Buzz Williams and kind of the year they just had and where they can take that?
Yeah, I mean, the year they had, or at least the second half of the year, I thought, you know, the growth from the beginning to the end, and then obviously to win 10 games when they don't think they were favored in a single one, where they picked close to last in the SEC preseason. Phenomenal, you know, as far as wins and losses go. But I think the big thing that I love about Coach Buzz is he gets it as far as communicating with players on what's really important and what wins games. You know, I feel like a lot of the stuff that he preaches about is a lot of the stuff that I tried to do when I was a player as far as caring about your teammate, having a genuine relationship with them, playing as hard as you can every single possession. I think there was a point in time this year where I watched a game and I was just like, you know, I couldn't tell you what our base defense was this game, but these dudes are playing hard as hell. Like they're jumping at every pump fake and running everybody off the line. I'm like, well, that's not very good closeout. That's not a good closeout. But I'm like, they took up a mid-range pull-up and we got the rebound around. I was like, what are you going to be mad about? These dudes are playing so hard. And I think that's part of Coach Buzz's pedigrees from Billy Clyde is like your team's going to play harder than the other team. And if you do that night in, night out, the execution's going to be there eventually. You'll win the games. But we had a saying my first year in the G League. It was called just being where your feet are. And part of it's just showing up every game and being ready to play. And I mean, you, Logan, you know, you've been through a season in college where you have two and a half hour practices and then you show up for a game and you're like, you might be a little burnt out. Like you're a little like you got to focus on the task at hand. And I think for him to be able to get those guys to just take every day as it was their last day playing basketball. That's what it felt like. And I love that, you know, that's what I'm all about.
Yeah, I think the discipline showed through on this team and Buzz's discipline. But I also would have loved to see you in this type of system as well. I mean,
I think it would have been really good for me too.
You obviously flourished with Coach Kennedy and y'all won a lot of games, but it is a completely different system and a completely different process. And I would have loved to see how your work ethic and your approach to being where your feet are every single game, how that would have been able to grow under Buzz.
Yeah, and it just, I mean, you can tell the chemistry within the team and any team that, like, my senior year team at A&M, my senior team in high school, and even the team I'm on now, like, they're all different kinds of relationships as far as like, the bond, but they're all close-knit teams, and those are always the teams that win, you know. You don't see teams that win at a high level that are disconnected or one guy's pointing the finger at the other guy. So for me, there's so much more to basketball than just the X's and O's and running up and down the court and shooting and rebounding. There's a lot that goes into the mental game, and there's a lot that goes into the teammate chemistry that helps winning. I think Buzz knows that, and he does a great job with it.
I'm watching The Last Dance to go back to that. You're talking about this Lakers team, and I've been following you guys closely, and I followed the Lakers. You know, people don't think I'm as big the NBA fan as I really am, because I just, you know, we don't talk about it a lot on Texags radio, but I was pissed the Rockets didn't get mentioned in that whole documentary. But, and Dante and I went down this whole rabbit hole earlier about how do those two NBA finals go, the Rockets and Bulls in 94-95. But oh, go ahead. I want to hear that.
I was just going to say, I've heard that argument, and I've heard the Bulls wouldn't have had an answer for Hakeem. You know, that was their one thing, is they didn't do well with big men. But I'd have been hard pressed to bet against those Bulls, man. I don't know.
I know. Dante's comment was interesting, though, because he said, by the way, are you old enough to remember Dante Hall playing at A&M? We were trying to
a little bit. I mean, I for sure know he played professionally, and he was an animal.
He said if he would have had a little more prep, he was going to join this interview and kind of help us interview you, which would have been cool. But when I'm looking, Dante said he thought the Rockets would win the first one because it was going to be so hard to win four straight, and he thought then Jordan and the Bulls would come back and win the second. That was the first time I'd heard that.
They're going to win three straight again.
No,
I don't.
Man, I just don't. Dude, 6-for-6. Like, I'm not going to – it's 100% at 6-for-6. It would have been tough to go 8 in a row, just because I think maybe somewhere down the line it would have caught up to him. But I don't know, man. That would have been tough. I mean, that's the great thing about sports, is we'll never know the answer.
So I'm watching that, guys, and I literally thought of you, because I'm like, we kind of touched on this, but you're living that right now. Like, you're a teammate – of LeBron James going for another title. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't seem like it, but in the twilight of his career, whether he plays 5 more years or 3 or 10, but you know, it's in 17 years in, you're living that movie right now, Alex. Yeah. Not just for all sports fans, but for any basketball player. And do you ever step back and just go, this is, I'm here and I'm a key factor in this thing. But is it still surreal on some level?
Yeah, 100%. You know, I think outside of when I'm actually with the team, in the gym, in the arenas, like when I'm there, I'm a professional basketball player in my mind. Like, it's almost like a weird switch I have, to where it's like when I show up there, it's like I'm in my element. I'm in my job. I'm comfortable. Like, this is what I do. And then when I step back, you know, like even like chatting with y'all right now, I feel like I'm back like in College Station, just kind of hanging out. I still have the same close friends that I had growing up, from high school, middle school, and some of my best friends are the people I've known since 5th, 6th grade from College Station. So it's not like I've like moved on with my life and now I'm this professional basketball player who's a different person. It's totally surreal, you know, just being teammates with LeBron. I mean, even outside of LeBron, Dwight Howard, Rajon Rondo, even Anthony Davis, like these are guys that when I was a kid, I was watching Rondo and Bron and Dwight battle in the playoffs. I was watching them at that before it was Torchy's Tacos. It was some other wing spot on Texas Avenue, and we went there with
Foul Digits.
I went there with Foul Digits. Yes, oh. I went there with Elston and a couple other guys on the team. Neek was there as a grad assistant, and we watched the Celtics play the Heat in the playoffs. And now I'm teammates with these guys and doing the same thing. So it's 100% surreal. I think there's just moments I allow myself to be a little more outside of the moment than other times.
Now, I haven't to go on the surreal factor. I haven't talked to you about this, but your dad mentioned this to me when I was talking to him, I don't know, about a month ago. He told me to ask you about LeBron's birthday party. Mm-hmm. And I think he said that, I don't know if there were just a number of superstars there and it was just off the charts, just different names or whatever it may be. But he said,
I mean, anytime we were with Bron and you're in a public place, there's people like I've dapped up 2 Chainz on the side of it. I was doing stretches and I went up and dapped up 2 Chainz. And I'm just like, cause I've seen him like 3 or 4 times now. Cause he loves LeBron. He loves the team. He's like, hey man, you got some game. I'm like, appreciate it, bro. Like on to the next thing. Like it's the LA factor mixed with the LeBron factor. Like everywhere we've gone this year, it's the biggest game of that person's home game. Like that, whoever we're on the road for, like when we were to Atlanta, you could name 10 different Atlanta rappers that were there that range from anywhere from like current day people to like Ludacris and like people like that. Tyrese was there. Like, and LA is a different animal just because it's LA, but like New York as well. Like everywhere we go, there's just, it's celebrity left and right that want to come see us play. And that's like, I step onto the court and I've got like certain people watching me like, oh, this is pretty cool.
but you did not dap up Rihanna, which is my favorite Caruso gif, even better than all the dunks. You didn't dap her up. That would have been the highest risk, highest reward move of your career. And I dare you to do it if she's there. Because if she doesn't, if she leaves you hanging, it's a forever one.
It is, but it's also funny at the same time.
Yeah,
that would be funny in the same right.
Either way, you win.
If it happens again, I'll try to make something happen. I'll go over and try and dap her up.
Perfect. Hey, Alex. Before we go, what is what's more on point right now? Your hoops game or your gaming itself? Because I know you spend a lot of time on Twitch.
Yeah. I don't think either one of those ever take a dip. You know, I got a healthy routine going. I work out and then come home and hang out with the boys online. It's been good though, man. I mean, it's given me, you know, I've had a lot of time over the last 2 months to play some video games. I've actually, I texted my family this like a week ago or maybe 2 weeks ago. It was a Saturday. I woke up and it's in the middle of before the facilities open. So I was like, I do my little at home workout and I've just come upstairs in my living room. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do today. I can't go to the beach. Can't go to a park. Can't play golf. I don't want to play video games. Like I'm tired of social media. So I read a book the entire day and I was like, yeah, there's no way you tell me this 10 years ago, I'd have voluntarily read a book on a Saturday afternoon.
You couldn't tell me 10 years ago that I'd be cooking lunch, breakfast, lunch and dinner at home every day and exercising every day. It's changed. It's changed all of us.
Nice, yeah. Hidden surprises.
Yeah. Hey, last thing from me. I was going to ask you, gosh, now I'm for, never mind. I forgot. It was a good one. Logan, you got anything before we head out?
No, I do have one thing. Caruso, if you have anything going on right now, mention it to whoever's listening, whether it's fundraisers. I know you have a lot of projects going on trying to help the less fortunate. Mm-hmm. If you have anything that you'd like to mention, go ahead and do that right now.
I think we talked about the Igloo thing before. Igloo Coolers is going to do another cooler.
Got it.
Yeah, you can show it off. It's probably going to be a little different design, but they're going to do another one where 100% of the proceeds go to frontline medical workers to provide PPE for them. I'm still partnered with this group called Hunger Not Impossible. You can go to hungernotimpossible.com/AlexCaruso, I believe. If not, I'll get you all the info. You can put it wherever you need, but it's providing meals to people who need them right now, who rely on meals through their daily life or don't have their their work because they're not an essential worker right now. So I think those are the two things that I have that are live. Other than that, man, just getting ready for basketball, getting ready to gear back up.
Alex, hey, man, thanks so much. I'll tell Yvonne and everyone else down here you said what's up. And
please do.
We really appreciate it, man. It's always fun catching up, and we miss you down here and look forward to watching you. We're not going to be able to be in the arena, I guess, but watching on TV, and hopefully you
– Replays will be better on TV anyway. You know, you're not going to miss anything.
For sure.
Appreciate it, guys. No, it's always good catching up, man. It's always good.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. I'll take care.